We're discussing spring, summer, winter, fall, and spring. Present are
Steve,
Rudy,
Jane,
George,
Robert,
Mark,
and
and
Mark. Beautiful film.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I have to. The thing that bothered me most, I saw it at the Opera Plaza, and it was basically a full theater, and it was in one of the bigger ones. And in seeing it, so many people walked out of there crying, and I thought, okay, this movie just totally went over my head, because I wasn't near any tears. I enjoyed it, but I thought, what am I missing? Because there were way too many people crying leaving, and I thought, what is going on here? It's like, what? There had to be some kind of, like, more meaning to it to have struck all these people to cry.
Is anybody familiar with the Buddhist teachings that were in the movie?
I'm somewhat familiar with Buddhist teachings, but anything in terms of the religious aspect would be, bring somebody to tears. Especially Buddhism. That is the nature of life, sorrow, and suffering, and so tears is not something that would come to mind.
But maybe that in itself at the end, because of his struggle to get up that stupid hill, made it these people cry. I don't know. I just thought, wow, there's got to be something more to this.
I think seeing someone come full circle is probably maybe what made people cry, because he started out becoming a master, and you thought in the middle of the movie, it's like, this guy really screwed it up and he's not going to become a master, but then he learned from all his mistakes and he eventually became a master.
And also that he's, in the beginning, he's the young boy, the little boy. And then at the end, he has a little boy. Yes, it's not his biological child, but it's like he's the father now, and there's a new generation. I don't know, that's moving to many people.
How do you think, this is one thing I want, how do you think the next child is born into, this is what they're going to do, they're going to go to the master and get trained?
I mean,
how do you think that choice? How's that choice made? Does anybody know how they might come about?
See, I have a similar question. There at the film, when the woman brought a child, the woman who was veiled, who had her face covered at the end, she brought a child there, and I was thinking she was abandoning her child there. And Steve thinks that this child was chosen to be brought there to become a monk.
I think he was abandoned. I think she didn't want to show her face because she had a child out of wedlock, and that's what.
See, but the problem I would have with that, I think anybody who goes and gets this opportunity to be with this master and get trained is getting a real privilege here. So I don't think that he's just going to end up with an abandoned child. He's going to end up, I think, with somebody like kind of like how the next Dalai Lama and everything is picked. They just know when they're born that this is the next one, and they just know when. When this child was born, okay, this is the next child that's going to go out on a little houseboat out into the lake and get trained by the master, because it's a privilege.
No, but if that was the case, then you would see like the whole village or whatever out celebrating the house of the child.
Maybe he decided not to put any of that in the film. Maybe it happened and she went there and brought the child there. Everybody's going to bring their kids there.
But then why would he?
Why hadn't they?
Maybe that's part of the ceremony. That's what.
I think you're reading a lot into it. It's
interesting. Well, you have to. Yeah.
It's an interesting interpretation, but I didn't think that either. I thought that it was
abandoned child.
Well, she was bringing the child to a safe place.
Mm-hmm.
And and saying you raised my child.
But the good question is why. She wouldn't be the only one.
Yeah, that's what
I'm saying. Everybody
brings their kids out there.
Yeah. How often do you have a child out of wedlock? How often does that happen?
Well, I don't know about Korea, but
I don't know. But in it might be common knowledge that you know, there's this monk who can take care of a child, but not a bunch of children, and so everybody would know that the monk now has a child to be his apprentice, you know, and so that's the reason why people wouldn't be letting their children off. But I think we're nitpicking here about some details that really.
Well, I think Steve brought up a good point. We saw the film too. Is at the end when he's dragging the rock up the hillside, that child's left alone in that little house by itself.
Has she left already?
Yes,
yeah, she's dead and gone. And he went up to go up the rock, trailing behind him. That little baby was in the house by himself.
Well, probably he just locked the door and
that seems like an oversight on, well, you know, maybe more nitpicking, but.
Yeah, George.
We noticed. They were aware.
They hadn't locked the door because some of the baby crawl on
the
ice.
It's like the baby found out it's
supposedly still there.
I think you're not supposed to take this film literally.
That's also true.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, and what about the business of the monk, the original monk who trained the child, was able to had some sort of mysticism going on where he was able to move that boat back and forth across the lake. And he appeared magically in places, you know, where...
Well, once the kid took the boat to shore,
exactly.
And then all of a sudden the master was on shore somewhere with him. And was like, he's not soaking wet. I don't know if he swam or...
Yeah.
Well, and then his death, too, the monk's death was kind of... I can't remember exactly what the details were, but it was kind of really...
Didn't he take his own life?
Yeah.
Put himself on his
apartment?
The monk?
Yeah, he burned himself in the boat, but later on the boat's still there.
Well, that's true.
In the ice. Isn't the boat in the ice?
Yeah.
Why didn't the boat sink? Yeah, you know, but went on fire.
We missed that one.
Yeah, not to be taken literally.
Yeah.
Didn't the guy, once he got back there, he tried to kill himself the same way too, and the monk stopped it from happening? He put that stuff on his face because he didn't want to live.
Yeah,
and the monk stopped that from happening.
That's right. He put those little things on his eyes.
And then in the end, the monk took his life the same way.
Well, that's sort of, I interpreted that once the monk did it as that's the ritual preceding suicide, and the monk was saying it's not your time.
Right.
Mm. It's not,
I agree
no,
with
that's
that.
Wrong. Don't do it. You can't do that. Mm. You have something else to do in this life. Mm. And then when he does it, it's because he has no more to do in this life.
Done. Yeah, that's true.
Well,
I think this film probably requires some scaffolding, some reading, some prior knowledge to interpret a lot of stuff.
There is one thing that you're absolutely right about, and the film totally missed the mark on that, is that the whole thing about him going off and living with the woman and then killing her is about it's about attachment. Okay, and it's about lust, and it's about material, and it's about everything that if you're going to achieve nirvana, you have to free yourself of. And what happened out there in the world with his love, and she cheated on him, or whatever his reason for killing her, you know, that really wasn't brought into the whole flavor and story of the movie, and I think it should have, because that's a real big part of Buddhist doctrine, is that you need to overcome these attachments in order to set yourself free. And that really, you didn't really see him freeing himself of that. You know, he paid his debt to society, you know, the cops came and took him away, but you can't really see him turning away from that. And
that happens out of our sight.
Yeah, and I don't think it should have. I mean, so much into this film purposely. You know, the thing about the tying the false the fish and so on. That you could have included something that, like that in here. I think
it was probably intended for. Well, who made this film? Korea and some European country, right? or Canada, or somebody else was attached to
it. Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
France, maybe? Anyway, it looks like the intended audience is not
American.
The world,
yeah.
It's not the world?
I mean, the intended audience.
Yeah, you're saying that it's kind of a local audience. I think
maybe that's the only way maybe you can figure out those things that seem a little absurd or mistakes or oversights or something.
I agree, and I might get back to Robert's point that what was the ethnicity of the people who were fine? Maybe they were like more cultural.
It was all over the place. There were Asian people there. There were white people there. There were black people there, and I just thought,
so many people.
What is it? The tears? Yeah, that's why I said I had to. There's something I missed.
Well, I think
it was a bit much.
Someone said this, but I think you're taking it too literally. I think it's like a sort of a fable and a, somewhere between a fairy tale.
Expressionism touches up.
But I mean, you can't apply too many literal real. Mm-hmm. Realism kind of demands on it. I'm not saying that some things didn't bother you, because you suddenly go, where's that baby? You know, then it takes you out of the movie, so that isn't successful. But that didn't bother me for some reason.
That would be where I would come from, but then to get up and to leave and to see so many people in tears, I thought, I missed something.
Well,
you know, it's like, what is going on? Why are so many people?
It didn't touch you emotionally the way.
No, I mean, I did enjoy it, and I thought it was done well. But at the same time, I didn't feel tears. I don't know if there's ever been a movie outside of maybe Schindler's List that made me cry. And this, I was just like, what is going? You know, there has to be something wrong with me if I can't. All these people are crying
at movies, and I didn't cry at this.
I didn't cry at this movie either. It was sad and it was tragic in a lot of places. But yeah, I think it was.
I felt moved at the end. And there was something about the cycle of the seasons and the little boy, the new little boy. I mean, that was. There's something very
interesting. Well, the seasons are supposed to correspond with a man's stages in life, right?
Here they are. It says so right here. Innocence, love, evil, enlightenment, and rebirth. And I think that sense of rebirth, you know, yes, it's only one person, and he's not literally reborn, but something in him.
Is a new person.
Yeah.
Sophia at work, somebody we work with, she's Korean, and she had seen this film some time ago, and she said it was like a mainstream Korean film, where a lot of people, I guess, who are Korean have already seen it. I forget my point, but... But I mean, you're talking about why people were moved. Maybe
not just moved, but to tears. I thought, because like I said, I mean, I thought it was a great film, and I could connect with some of what I saw, but it didn't bring me to tears. And I thought, wow. And I mean, it's a good question to ask what race these people were, but it was all over the place. And I thought, wow, because I've never seen a movie like that in such a full theater either. I thought I'd be one of the only people in there, and there wasn't, you know, there were maybe 10, 15 seats that were empty. Everything else was full.
When did you see it?
The week after we met, I went and saw it.
I saw that too.
Some films make people cry,
and
other films
true.
Don't. And
well, you know, this is interesting. You know, the movie Big Fish, which I did not like. Bill, who is a friend of mine who rarely ever sees films, his friend rented some films and he saw a Big Fish. He cried at the end. I couldn't believe it. I
know a lot of people who said
crap.
Yeah.
And he cried at the end. He thought it was really moving.
Mine were tears of joy that it was.
Mine were tears of sadness that I sat through the whole damn thing.
Yeah, you're so far.
Oh, 2 years of my life.
To get back to the movie, I just thought of something that I hadn't thought of till now. It's more about a detail, but do you remember? I remember the first couple of times when the guy is in bed in that little place, and he gets up and he
uses the door.
He uses the door. And there are no walls.
Yeah, that's cracked.
Yeah. But the same thing happens when they get off the boat and they go through the gate to get mm-hmm. to land. But there's nothing.
No, I'm not, the doors, exactly.
But I think that now that I'm thinking of it, it has sort of a symbolic meaning. And the only thing that I'm thinking of is that, you know, like we put these limits on our own selves, like we always go through the door, mm-hmm. even when there's.
But again, I think it's a Buddhist thing or discipline that they do things the same way day in and day out, that they'll always go through that portal. And then the only time he didn't do it, the young boy did it when he went to bed with the woman.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's
right. Because he couldn't get out without.
Mm-hmm. So he kind of looks like. He took that, overstepped that boundary, and he's off the path he should be on.
That's the
broke
point.
The rules, right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's a good interpretation of it. I haven't tried to attach any meaning to it other than, why are you doing that? No, I think there is meaning. Maybe that's the meaning.
Because I think a lot, one thing I liked about it, it was kind of different for a Buddhist movie. Because they do, it's like Buddhist gone bad. When they don't usually go, they'll concentrate on the spirituality of it more so, and they kind of just like isolate it from the real world. And this one, it's like they never really showed the world, real world, but you know he went through everything in the real world and then came back to his Buddhist.
He came back as the real world.
Well, I think he learned from the real world and it got back on his path.
Well, that's the question I have. Can somebody who's committed murder go on to become a Buddhist?
Sure.
Yes.
Anybody could. Hitler could if he wanted to.
Oh, my God.
I bet you could become a Catholic priest.
After having murdered.
Isn't it if you truly repent? I mean,
yeah. I think he was very remorseful about some of his life. I don't see any problems with him, you know, turning over a new leaf or going back to it.
Do you look at his teachings as a boy? Was the education that he needed for it to become a monk?
I don't know. I mean, he goes, you know, in the beginning he just did things with the little animals, and then he learns, you know, the master, you know, educates him, and he feels remorse about, you know, the things that he sees the errors of his, you know, playing, and yet he makes the same mistake kind of later on, and someone dies because of it, and then he regrets that. So, I don't know. I mean, it does point to the fact that, you know, you do keep making the same mistakes, you know, and that eventually you might come around and achieve, you know, some kind of peace. I don't really see when he realized that he could. And maybe it was just the monk, you know, saying, now it's not your time to commit suicide, but, you know, he needed to do this. He needed to, first of all, pay his debt to society when the police came, and then he needed to carve those things into the, and maybe that was the turning point.
One thing about the killing, too, is that, I mean, there's this little boy, and he's brought up on this houseboat out and isolated from everything. And because, I mean, so many people go through their spouses or partners cheat on them and they don't kill them, but he was never prepared for anything out in the real world, really, emotionally. Because all he was prepared for was what he was getting taught by this old man. And the old man wasn't going to teach him about sex and the relationship with a woman or anything like that. And meanwhile, this girl comes out there and he falls in love with this girl. And he's just so ill-prepared for all of this emotionally.
That was kind of sweet.
That could be why, though, he did what he did. Because the connection, when the guy said to him that lust is going to bring murder, I thought, since when? Just because I'm into somebody doesn't mean I want to kill. And then he goes away and he actually does it when he sees it in the paper. So he could have been Well, he set up for some of that. It was put into his head that it was going to cause that down the line.
But he's not necessarily saying lust for a woman will lead
just to someone.
What he's saying is lust after material goods, lust after power, lust after a car, lust after an oil field, you know, will lead to death. You know,
I assumed he meant for this woman was going to create murder, and then of course he kills the woman. I didn't think about any of the other stuff. I just, when I was watching it, I saw, you're into this woman, you're going to kill her. And then he goes and he does it, and I thought, what is going on?
Well, it seems like somebody who had been raised by a Buddhist monk would be a big leap to going from those teachings to going out in the world and actually lusting out to somebody and killing them. That seems like a big leap for me.
Well, that's why I think that this, you're not supposed to take it literally, that it is just a fulfillment of the teachings that lust leads to evil and
So murder doesn't necessarily mean murder. It could just mean evil. He didn't have to kill her. He just happened to do it here.
Right.
Yeah, and lust is, you can read, is sort of another word here for attachment, as you say.
Right.
You know, like desiring, lusting after.
Yeah, he couldn't let her go. He was there. That was it. He was gone with her, whether the guy told him to do it or not. Mm-hmm.
Did anybody have any comments on the fact that the woman who abandoned or left her child there with the Buddhist, and then she went out and fell through the eyes?
That was
anybody
really,
see that
was really
thing?
A pretty hard moment, you know, for me. It's really
was that her karma? The Buddhists believe in karma,
but they don't.
Because she left the child there.
That's instant karma. They believe karma usually comes in another life. Or maybe it could have been from something she did 20 lives ago that her karma was.
Well, that's Hinduism rather than Buddhism.
Well, that's what I was wondering, where karma comes from, Hinduism?
Yeah.
Well, that was hard. It was like, mm-hmm. Why did she have to die?
I think it's just you know, life is impermanent, you know.
Now,
happen.
Why was there that hole in the ice? He had gone fishing earlier.
So he could have water.
Right, and water.
He needed water.
He was washing himself there, too.
Okay.
And maybe she didn't see it clearly because her head was covered with veils.
Yeah. And then the scene of her underneath the ice, it's kind of like, there's this book called Magic and Mystery in Tibet, written by this woman who traveled to Tibet in like the early 20th century when women didn't travel at all.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it, she met with a lot of the monks and she studied and became a monk herself eventually. But in Tibetan Buddhism, the experience of death is something that people, and the experience of people who have died, you know, being around people who have died is something that they try to engender to kind of condition people that we're all going to die, you know, and that you need to be, you know, you shouldn't be hiding the body in a coffin. You need to be, you know, realizing that this is it, you know, this is it, this is how you're going to end. And that kind of, the scene with the ice kind of had that kind of shocking feeling to me where you're confronted with, you know, the impermanence of life and how quickly it can go.
Well, I see that at the hospital where I work at every day, so.
It's a stretch, but maybe they show that because they never showed you him killing the wife.
Mm-hmm.
You still then see death because this other woman dies there. And
the child is the result of
lust. Yeah, that's true.
It's been a long time seeing the film. How did it actually end? I remember him going up the hill with a rock tied to him. Then what happened?
The sunset, man. That was stupid. I didn't.
That's like a pretty. That's pretty.
I like the whole thing of carrying the rock up the hill, you know. So, but then to watch the sunset.
But didn't he go get the baby? Because the baby was like.
And then he was carrying the statue up the hill too.
The little them.
I think it was his atonement for the woman falling through the ice. He felt he was responsible because he cut the hole in the ice, and this is what he did to atone for it.
Huh.
Carrying the rock and the statue up to
She hadn't come. He was up that hill and she came while he was gone.
No, it was after she died. He went up the hill.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought when he first came and he saw that snake, he went and did what he... Because he went and he found that statue, and I thought that's when he went up the hill, and then Missy came while he was...
No, at the end when he dragged the rock, and he had the statue,
yeah.
And it was after the woman died. And he went on that big, long journey, and he went to the top of that one mountain, and you could see the houseboat way in the distance, and he put the rock there, and he put the statue on top of the rock.
And that was the end of the movie?
That was sort of just about the end of the movie.
What was the very last scene?
Something with the boy.
I
thought he captured the boy from falling into the water, because the boy crawled out.
Something that indicated that the little boy was going to... The whole story was starting a little...
All over again.
With the... And the little cruelty, like, all the little things.
That's the one thing I don't remember from last
year. I really liked the first time you were in the house moved. The background,
yeah,
it was really cool. Up until that time, you didn't really see that it was a houseboat, and then all of a sudden you're in this room and you realize
it's moving.
Yeah,
magical.
Maybe that's why he got to the other side. The boat, the houseboat, moved to the other side so he could move his boat.
Move the whole house.
But are you talking about the old monk? The old monk.
Yeah, because I mean, many times the boat was on the other side, and he was at the house, and somehow he ended up with the boat again.
But we saw that he can move the boat.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
Well, that beginning lesson where the kid was tying rocks to the fish, the frog, and the snake, that really hit a chord with me.
Mm-hmm.
And then the monk turned around and tied a rock to the kid. I remember when I was a kid and I was throwing rocks at a cat, and me being a cat lover. And I think kids just do stupid, mean things without thinking, you know. And what the priest said was that if one of those animals died, it will stay in your heart for the rest of your life. And I think that's true, because I could still remember throwing rocks at that cat.
Oh, he saw that snake. That was it for him. Mm-hmm. Those tears just didn't stop.
Yeah. So that lesson kind of hit close to home.
I thought that whole first episode was just beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
Yeah. I like the movie.
And there's the place, you know, where the snake died, and the rocks there. Didn't they come back to that, like when he was bringing the girl back to the...
It's kind of
like you're revisiting, you know, something as a different person, as a teenager or a young man. But it's the same. You're going through the same kind of thing where you're learning new things.
Well, I thought it was kind of interesting that mother brought her daughter there to be cured. And after the girl got together with the guy, she was a whole lot better, so...
That's what she needed.
Melancholy.
Yeah. The monk even said that.
Melancholy, maybe that was it.
The monk said to her, that must have been the right medicine, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel better? He's found out the two of them are having sex.
Yeah,
really. And instead of getting all wild-eyed about it, he says, well... Do you feel better? Or do you feel better now? You do. That it was the right thing.
And it's time to go.
That's the thing, too. It was interesting, that aspect, because you think somebody going through these teachings and they're 15, 16 years old, and your hormones are raging, and you're getting all these teachings. They probably teach you they don't want you to have sex whatsoever. So here comes this girl that's like 15, 16, so what the hell do you think was going to happen? And I like that they kind of really brought the whole human aspect of that into the picture.
I think the monk knew, you know, it was happening and it was going to happen, and knew that
he wasn't,
it had to happen. It had to happen. You can't.
It was inevitable.
You have to experience all that life is to learn what there is to know about it. You know, you have to experience attachment. You have to go through.
Yeah, and that's probably why he wasn't furious that it had happened. But he may not have. I wonder. I don't think he banked on that the boy was going to leave.
No, I don't think he was banking on that either.
I think where he, maybe he felt at that point he'd failed, or he had, there was no point for him to go on living, because the boy had left and he had nobody to hand his, you know, work on to.
But he still lived. He waited until he found that the boy was coming back.
That's true.
He knew the boy was coming back when he found
the
painter.
That's true. I take it all back. You're right. It was after the boy,
after the carving
of
the thing to repel. Yeah. Right.
That he, and
that's when he was over.
Maybe then, because he says he sort of knows that his lessons will be learned or something like that. I'm not sure. When he sees that the boy, now man, is willing to go to prison and knows he has to pay for his, what he did, then he kind of knows, okay, I can go because he'll be back or something.
I thought the guys who came to arrest him were really cool. I mean, they kind of went along with them. Oh, this is carvings.
They were pretty
good. We'll take it when we have.
Well, yeah. I think they were respectful, too.
The teachings were and what he had to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, they helped in the end. They helped him paint them.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that he would have committed suicide in jail if he hadn't done that carving thing. And that's what he needed to do, was to get that.
I felt sorry for the poor cat's tail, though. Somebody's going to call the
SBO. I don't believe what that is.
Poor kitty.
What? I can't remember. What are you talking about?
With the paintbrush.
The cat has the paintbrush.
Oh, yeah. Cat's tail to paint all those.
Yeah, exactly. Things.
What was that all about?
That's what he had to use.
No. What was that all about?
Maybe it was the cat's karma.
Well, each season had a different animal, and the cat served his purpose in that season as the paintbrush. In the first one, he was with the dog. He was chasing that dog all over the place, and then the rooster came.
And what?
The rooster that got on the boat and went back and forth, and then the mouse was there. There was the cat.
And go ahead.
The snake was at the end, because it was guarding the monk when he came back.
That means one season.
There was another animal. I can't think of what it was.
It was only four seasons.
Yeah
but they went back to spring.
The
and
snake was
spring would have been. The snake would have. The dog was spring in the beginning, and at the end it was the snake. Because the snake
was
there when
showing
it came back.
The distance, the years, the time.
The animals were?
Well, a year of the snake, year of the dog, year of the cat, year of the rooster, however there are seven more or six after that, or whatever.
Well, what was he, probably about three or four at the beginning?
The spring?
Then about 16, 17,
so his 12 years.
He was in jail for 10 years, I think they said.
Well, it was a good film and I enjoyed it, but
Turtle
I don't remember
the fifth one. That's what it was. The Turtle was the one in the winter.
Oh, because it was the he sat on the turtle.
Right. Yeah. So the turtle that was the other one. So there were five animals, and each season had an animal.
I'd like to see a real analysis of this by somebody who studied, like you said, Buddhism and. You know, really has thought through some of this stuff, but I don't know that there is
it. It was a good movie, and I enjoyed it, but an hour after I left the theater, I had pretty much forgotten it. You know, it wasn't that memorable.
I'm the opposite. I said at the beginning, I think you were curious, I remember almost every scene.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there's a couple of details I did forget.
I thought it was a kind of a slight film, and I didn't think we were going to have that much to talk about, but I guess I was wrong there.
And that's it.
Editing both films.